Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
I'm attending the second trial of the first group of defendants in the Bundy standoff.
And you said, what happened at the first trial?
In the first trial, there were six defendants. Two of them were convicted of some offenses. The other four, there was a hung jury on them, although the hung jury was strongly in favor of acquittal for
Let's
each of these
take
four.
Our listeners back, just to kind of recap, what is the Bundy Ranch situation for people that maybe didn't hear about that when it was happening and maybe in the dark?
Yeah, this is this has been a longstanding disagreement between the Bundys and the federal government over ranching rights, and it's been going on for 15 or 20 years. But a few years ago, in around 2014, it came to a head when the federal government seized the Bundys' cattle. Clive and Bundy made a call to other ranchers to come out and support a protest against this action.
So who's on trial now? Where were you at yesterday or whenever it was that you were attending?
Yeah, the defendants are Eric Parker, Scott Drexler, Richard Loveland, and I'm not sure about the fourth. I think it may be Stephen Stewart.
What are they accused of?
One of the main things they're accused of is conspiring to participate in armed extortion. I may not have the exact wording correct, but they're being charged with taking up arms to threaten the BLM to get them to release Clive and Bundy's cattle. That seems to be the central charge, but there are others.
And it seems like these trials that are going on against the Bundys, and there have been at this point quite a few of these trials, Bundys and their hangers-on. They keep on getting found not guilty over and over again.
Wait, was that the case with the Bundys? I thought that was the case with the Malheur Federal Wildlife Occupation.
There have been mixed results. At the first Malheur trial, which I attended, where Ryan and M and Bundy were on trial, it went almost totally in favor of the defendants who were found innocent of
right.
just about everything.
By jury.
There were, again, two other trials there with more mixed results. There was a several-day period where there were some people at the Bundy Ranch in conflict with the BLM. All of the trials are centered on one day and actually like a 40-minute period of one day. This is the time when the BLM said they were going to let go of the cattle, and Clive and Bundy told the protesters there, okay, go down and get the cattle. So this was a confrontation between, maybe 100 people, maybe a bit more, and BLM. No shots were fired, but the police were, the BLM was pointing guns at the protesters for sure, and there were snipers ringing the area that could be seen pointing rifles at the
Sure.
It's interesting that government agents pointing rifles at citizens
totally
who are doing nothing is not just legal, but sort of unacceptable and not even really considered in any way.
I've never heard of a defendant not being allowed to explain why he did what he did before. But that's what happened with Eric Parker yesterday. And the lawyer kept trying to go back with it. And at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, hours before court was supposed to end, it's usually been ending around 5, the judge simply stopped, told Parker to get off the stand, and that was it. That was it for the day. She declared the day over with. And they never even got to even talk about him being on the bridge. So it was amazing. Everybody in the courtroom was stunned when she suddenly took him off the stand long before his lawyer was done with him. And the jury looked stunned. The crowd looked stunned. The defense lawyers were stunned. It was just unheard of. The jury has to know that something really strange is going on, because I'm sure they've seen at least trials on television shows, and it is kind of traditional for the defense to get to speak.
I just wanted to bring up the point, similarities between this and what already happened at Ruby Ridge in Waco.
When you say this, you're talking about
overstepping their bounds.
You're talking about the Bundy Ranch situation?
Yes, yes, absolutely. Okay. The federal government already overstepped their bounds several times in the past, and I think we forget how far they're willing to go to show they're the biggest, baddest bully in town.
Yeah, they basically, for whatever reason, in Ruby Ridge, shot this woman in the doorway of her house holding a baby. The baby did survive, but of course, you know, hits the ground. Mom's dead. And it was
they shot his 9-year-old son as well.
Indeed, there's another shooting there too, a child. And it was really all over a gun that they had him saw off a shotgun that was some amounts slightly less than whatever's the legal limit.
It was an undercover agent.
Yeah, but, basically.
Right. Yeah, undercover agents set him up. They set him up that way he could, you know, then inform on other whatever separatist groups. But in a free country, in a civilized democratic society, all beliefs should be accepted.
I think it's so imperative that we get away from this federal government. I mean, they are so violent. They're so dangerous. They're so oppressive. There's no real reason why I think any sane person would want to be associated with these maniacs. So what we need to see happen is secession, and it needs to happen sooner rather than later. Because, I mean, look, people are saying they don't like Donald Trump, right? I saw some numbers out of New Hampshire where his polling is very, very poor. It is a strong majority of people who do not approve of Donald Trump. It seems like now is as good a time as it's ever been to start talking about independence, start talking about states breaking away from the federal government, saying, see ya, we don't need ya. We'll keep our own money here. We'll, you know, use it to benefit our communities rather than the lining the pockets of bureaucrats in Washington, D.C.
Well, it certainly does seem like there was a huge growth of government programs, you know, under the sort of the progressive era of the federal government, right? Like it got very big sort of late 1800s, early 1900s, and
it hasn't slowed down since then.
The statehood of states disappeared.
Randy Weaver was suckered into that gun charge. The FBI wanted him to cooperate and infiltrate the Aryan Nation.
Mm.
And Randy said he wouldn't do that against his brothers, and I don't believe for one second that he considered the Aryan Nation that he was a neo-Nazi or any of the epithets that can be hurled at them.
Mm-hmm.
But he felt that these were liberty-minded people, and he was not going to do anything to infiltrate. So they had befriended him, and they had built a relationship, and he didn't know who he was dealing with, really. And they asked for a favor. Somebody else in the community asked for a favor, and they handed him a shotgun, and they said, you know, could you saw it off for me? And he said, sure. And I believe it was two times. The first time was above legal, and the second time was a little awkward, a little smaller. The federal government had this warrant that they wanted to deliver, but they never made any effort. It's a familiar story. It just hangs out there. And the sheriff of the nearby community said that Randy came down almost every day to a local bakery, have coffee with the sheriff, would then get provisions and go back up to his home, the area that he lived in. Now, I knew people through church every Sunday who were going up and back and reporting to the church on what was taking place up there. And it was a overwhelming show of force. And whether it's true or not, I think Bo Greitz even spoke to our group about it. And he said that the wife was targeted. Sammy was an accident when the son, the dog, got out. And as a hunting dog will do, he's running and chasing food. That's right. I have two coon hounds, too.
Right. That's what it's like.
In my opinion, the sort of cops that are looking for
dog
a fight,
first and Sammy.
They'll shoot right. They'll shoot an animal, or in this case, you know, other household members. They're hoping that Randy Weaver opens fire. They're hoping that this
right.
is going to be their excuse to shoot him as well. It's amazing to me that he made it out off of that that ridge alive. I mean, after
right.
that,
the case is a lot easier to handle for law enforcement if everybody's dead.
Yeah, that's
they had 100 law enforcement officers.
Wow.
For one man.
For an inch of a barrel.
An inch into a barrel, an overwhelming, disgraceful show of force. But as I recall, it was the Parkinson case, Janet Reno. I mean, she was one sick broad.
I'm in Southern Virginia, so I wasn't there.
Right.
But what I'm seeing is there was three times Antifa there compared to Richard Spencer and his white supremacy group.
Really?
Like I said, that's what I'm seeing from the reports I'm getting. So basically, there are a bunch of idiots on both sides
right.
starting a fight. So how does the media cover it? They cover it as white supremacists starting a race war. Now, let me tell you, I was in D.C. vacationing in late June with my wife and kids, and Richard Spencer and his group were there at the Lincoln Memorial. By accident, I show up, and they're holding a little rally, okay? And they got their rally. They got snipers on top of the Lincoln Memorial. They've got police everywhere. And there was probably less than 100 people out there, but they're out there spewing their race hate and whatever it is that they do. And that's fine. Let them do what they want to do. But they're there. So I get home and I watch the news, and it makes it seem like there's 1,000 people out there. And then they had a counter protest of, you know, a couple hundred people. And the counter protest was like 20 people.
I'm not sure that, the alt-right always means racial stuff. But
it sure has taken on that feel.
The smear is there, right? But don't. This is the thing that I just don't trust. The media, quote unquote.
Right.
Like I'm the media. I don't know what the media is, but there are those in the media that the first thing they do with any, with anybody with whom they disagree is paint them with a racial brush, right? This happens with libertarianism. All the time. We read an article earlier this week or last week, I can't remember exactly what it was, but quite recently, that basically saying, using the term government school as opposed to public school, and I think to be a more precise term, a government school is a government school, a public school, what exactly is that? That gives the notion that you have some kind of control over school and you don't. A government that's using the term government school has these racial roots, and people who do it are really just hearkening back and want
it. It was a stupid article.
It was a stupid article, but it happens all the time.
Apparently, the protest was shut down early, but they were expecting thousands, 2,000 to 6,000, if you look at the reports from even the Daily UK and from Chicago Tribune. So that's what I'm seeing. So I'm seeing estimated. But no one has put out hard numbers of who has shown up.
I can tell you this. There's a big. There's a photo right here on New York Daily News, nydailynews.com, which is a wide shot of this location in, I presume it's Charlottesville, with this statue. The statue, I believe, of Robert E. Lee or something like that, mm-hmm. from the, you know, the back in the Civil War days. And the large number of the nationalist folks who are surrounding this statue, they all have torches, and there are definitely hundreds of them. Now, I believe this was at the time when they were surrounding the statue as the anti-fascist or the Antifa group was directly around the statue. They're the much smaller, it seems to be the much smaller number in this this photo, and they are well outnumbered by, I mean, I'm not good at estimating crowd sizes, but this is a fairly tightly packed crowd. I would say several hundred at least people, maybe at least 500, the white nationalists or alt-righters. Sean, have you seen any of these wide shots at all from what happened?
I have, but I also saw the Hillary shots of her rallies during the election. So I don't trust these photos.
Well, we know that you were somewhere near Charlottesville last night because there are pictures of you and video footage.
Or somebody who looks remarkably like you.
Someone wearing a Radical Agenda t-shirt who looks a lot like you.
Someone who was wearing your clothing.
Let me go ahead and just dispel any confusion. You're talking about me, okay? And let me just make it also clear that what we came to do here had an explicitly racial message to it. And I think that I believe the last caller's name was Sean. I think it's misguided in that everybody would be extraordinarily unwise to downplay the significance of what happened in Charlottesville last night and today.
What happened in
Charlottesville? What was the significance?
Well, okay, so what? So it was some kind of a Unite the Right rally that you went down there for. What was that, first and foremost? And then we can get into what actually transpired.
Yeah, so, I mean, the idea behind it is, well, what you have on the right in America is this constant, everybody wants to attack one another, and, you know, we're being libertarians, we're familiar enough with this, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, in the case of the right, I mean, you're dealing with an actual political force that stands to gain or lose political power, whereas the libertarians are sadly mostly irrelevant, at least right. So far as electoral politics go.
Yep.
What's going on is, on the right, you have people who are noticing demographic trends and trying to address them, and then you have other people virtue signaling and calling them racist Hitlerites for pointing out obvious facts. And so the Unite the Right rally was, at least what I went there to say, was to deliver the message of do not punch right.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners. If you're like me, then you really enjoy Free Talk Live and the message of liberty. Yet you may not always have the time to listen to an episode of Free Talk Live, so you listen to the Digest instead. If you enjoy the Digest, please donate $5 to $10 per month to patreon.com/crblake86. That's patreon.com/crblake86. You can also donate with Bitcoin or Ether. See the show notes for further details.
This Unite the Right rally that you went to with what looks like in this, at least in this one wide shot that I've seen here, it looks like hundreds, I would say several hundred of the white nationalists, because if you can identify them by their tiki torches, which is pretty funny, you have to admit, in the photo. Would you say, what would your estimates be as far as how many people were at this statue situation last night?
I am terrible at this. Like this, visually measuring distances and crowd sizes, yeah. I am explicitly awful at. But I will say, I'm going to say it was no less than 200 people at UVA last night.
I'd say you're conservative on that. It seems like much
I'm
higher.
Trying to be.
Yeah.
It was a large event. There's no question about it. You know, basically, I mean, this is probably this is. I don't think I'm inaccurate in saying this is the biggest thing that the alt-right has done.
That's probably true.
Unless you believe the mainstream media by saying that we got Donald Trump elected. if you believe we got Donald Trump into the White House, this is number two. But if not, this is number one.
Now, so you guys had gone to this location because of some kind of controversy over a statue of Robert E. Lee from the Civil War, the general. What sort of spurned this whole thing into happening?
So the thing, you know, you might have noticed, I'd be surprised to find out you hadn't talked about this already, that there's a phenomenon going on that they want to basically erase American history. You know, that they've already gone and taken down the Confederate flag from just about everywhere. They're now going after statues.
Chris, would you describe yourself as a fascist today? You're definitely a racist. Would you accept fascist?
You know, I don't see fit to argue with people who call me a fascist anymore, put it that way. Like, here's the thing. Honestly, like, I still consider myself a libertarian, though, and here's why. I'm envisioning a world where all resources are privately owned, okay? And so we don't have democratic governments, you know, in creating public institutions that everybody has a say over. You know, I'm talking about privatizing all resources, all right? Just like, which I think all libertarians are at the end of the day. And so whoever owns the property is the ruler of that property, and they can tell, they can dictate the rules of that in whatever way they see fit. That's the world that I want to live in.
In that world, you've got your little like white neighborhood, and if I want to live in a neighborhood where anybody's allowed to be, you know, whether they're from Central America or the Middle East or whatever, then you would not like attack us with tiki torches.
No, of course. If you want to move into a black neighborhood, Ian, have at it.
Yeah, this brings up for me, what would you say, I guess you can answer what your goal is. You can't speak for every alt-righter in America or anything like that. But what would you say sort of the overall goal here is? One of the things I find difficult with sort of some of these racial points that are made is like, what's the point? Fine, you've got your point made. What exactly do you want to see in longer term?
I want to see people be able to have honest discussions, gentlemen.
You were facing off against a bunch of white people last night, at least according to the footage and the footage and the photos that I saw. I mean, it was whites versus whites having a big old fist fight last night. There was pepper spray. There were tiki torches being swung at each other, and all of this over a statue. So I agree with you. People who don't agree with liberty, I would prefer they not be around. But those people are of all different skin colors and of all different origins. So this is where we really had our big disagreement. Was you say you have all these facts about these groups, and maybe some of it's true. I don't know. Again, numbers can be fudged, and all kinds of people can do statistics and based on how they ask the questions and all that. But I don't.
Ultimately, it doesn't particularly matter. If someone came up with statistics that said that whatever my ethnicity is the dumbest ethnicity around, right? We're just a bunch of knuckle-dragging, mouth-breathing morons. That's not going to change my opinion about me.
Can you kind of paint the picture, Chris? When you guys showed up at this statue, were the Antifa or the anti-fascist counter-protesters, were they already there surrounding the statue? Because I saw footage where they were sort of, locked arms or whatever around this statue, and then you guys kind of came in from the outside. What was it like when you got there, and how long before the fights broke out?
So the first thing I want to say to you guys is that I have reason to believe I might get arrested in a minute.
All right.
I've just been informed that there's police here asking about the entrances and exits to the hotel.
Okay.
So if I drop the phone, that's what's going on. Okay?
All right.
I've got a camera on. I want to tell you guys, I have three pistols in this room. They are on the desk. They're on the TV stand of the hotel. I'm on the other side of the room. I have a camera running on me, and I'm trying to turn on my Ustream right now.
All right.
I have to say, first things first, the communists absolutely started the fight. They absolutely attacked us, and it was stupid of them to do so because they were dramatically outnumbered.
That's what it looked like.
When we went to UVA last night, the original plan was not to have police involved. And when we had our leadership meeting, they told me that law enforcement was not involved. And I said, these people are dangerous. We know that they are dangerous.
Cantwell went up there with the express purpose of knowing it was going to be confrontation. He knew it. That's why he took all those pistols with him.
To Cantwell's credit, he tends to pack heat pretty much everywhere he goes. But I agree with you that he knew there was going to be conflict, and he wants to be a name in the alt-right movement. It makes him money, and that's why he went up there. He wanted that conflict. He wanted whatever renown that would come with him, whatever his performance was in that conflict. I agree with you there.
And anyway, thing about alt-right, these people, this is nothing new. These people have been hating since long before the alt-right thing. And he's saying, we formed this group to alt-right because of this and because of that. That's just garbage. It's been doing this stuff for at least 200 years here. I don't have nobody about that alt-right stuff. And another thing, if you think white people are being oppressed here in the country, I would gladly trade skin with him for just one day so you can see what real oppression feels like.
I would that like to know what that's like, and stuff. I would think that it would take more than a day to really get a feel for it.
No, I give him 12 hours.
I'd like to try it, but I wish I wish I knew how to do this. I mean, I've heard of these sort of makeup things. I've never seen really sort of good evidence, the camera evidence for it.
But listen,
what are you going to put on blackface?
Well, that's precisely what happens.
Listen, being black, you ignore the stuff that we ignore. I don't think most other races could handle. It just becomes such a part of your whole life. You just ignore so much stuff. You just have to just to exist. The stuff that we ignore, most people couldn't handle. I know it.
Are you bothered by statues of like Robert E. Lee? I mean, I don't know that there's that many of them running around in the South, but I imagine there's probably a handful of them. Do they bother you?
I never really thought about it because I just didn't think about it. But thinking about it, it would probably give me pause. You have to wonder why do they put these people up as heroes and why do they need to be in town squares? Why is this? Because that's what America was built on. That's what America is. And now that America is moving away from that, now we seem to have a problem with it.
What do you think about statues of Ulysses S. Grant as opposed to Robert E. Lee? I mean, you can see why people would put up a statue of Ulysses X. Grant, right?
Yeah, well, war heroes, to me, I just don't find them, all that admirable.
I agree. I see them all as killers. I mean, there's no difference between them in my book.
I don't know what the big thing is about having war heroes.
I kind of see it all as history, and I'm trying to, get a clear picture here as to what, necessarily other people think. I just look at it as like, well, I'm from the South.
I'd rather see a statue to Harriet Tubman than I would some, warmonger.
I think you should be able to fundraise for that statue, and I'm willing to give you the first seed money to make
that
statue.
But the problem comes in where one of them's placed on government property. That's where you get all these angry people.
They are government employees. Like, all of them were government employees.
I mean, they have plenty of statues. They have plenty of monuments to white supremacy. You go to D.C. I mean, you have a whole mall of white supremacy statues sitting up there.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.